Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles 20, page 507 in your Scofield Bible. We'll start with the first verse and read through the 11th. We'll read the verses responsively. In this passage, I see only one word that might give us some difficulty. In verse 2, near the last line, there's a name called Hazazon Tamar. Hazazon Tamar, you call it that, and we'll be okay, I think. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord, our colors, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. And let's finish on the 11th verse. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Let's pray. Father, do something here in this service. We pray for your help for our listening. Thou wast indeed blessed with thy special anointing and power, our preacher. We pray for the success of the service, that you would accomplish your purpose, your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I thought of this, when I read this passage, when Jehoshaphat said, Art thou not our God? I thought of little Pappy Reveal. I didn't know him very well, just a little bit. Pappy Reveal was the founder and director of the Evansville Rescue Mission, and one of the most amazing men of prayer you ever knew in your life. Pappy Reveal was a little bitty guy, just a run of a fella. In fact, when he drove a car, you could hardly see over the steering wheel, over the dash, and nobody would ride with him. He drove by faith, and he'd tell the Lord, Lord, put an angel over here now for Pappy, an angel on this fender, an angel on this fender. Back in the days when cars had fenders on them. And he said, have the angels guide me now. I can't drive by myself. And Pappy Revie would go fishing. He'd say, now, Lord, you know I'm your pet, and I don't have time to sit around here waiting on a fish to bite. And I put some fish over here, on this side over here right now, and so I can get to fish and hurry back. And the Lord put the fish over there. And those who were making fun of him were over here not catching anything at all on this side of the boat. But Pat Reveal used to pray. He'd leave the door open to his little office, and you could walk by, and he'd have all the bills that the rescue mission owed stacked up there on the desk. And Pat Reveal would be praying, and he'd pray something like this. Dear Lord, these are not my bills, they're yours. I've got a good credit rating. What you going to do about yours? Now, Lord, These are your bills, not mine. I'm not going to worry about them now, but I need to have this much money to pay your bills. Now, they're your bills, not mine. And I thought about when Jehoshaphat said, "Art thou not our God?" I thought about Pappy Reveal. Jehoshaphat said this at an interesting time, difficult time, and yet a wonderful time in the life of Israel. Three enemy armies were closing in on Judah, God's people. There's nothing they could do. They didn't have a chance. Not a chance in the world. They just didn't. They couldn't probably have defeated one of those armies. But now three mighty armies and a great host of people are closing in on Judah. Joshua called the people together, especially the leaders, to tell them what they're going to do. And I'm going to tell you tonight the summary of what Joshua told them. I think I can wrap it up in six statements or six things that Joshua said they were going to do. Now, none of these things included weapons of war. None of these things included the using of the army. They could have done any good. They didn't have enough weapons of war. They didn't have enough army. It wouldn't have done any good. I mean, if he'd used a conventional way to fight the battle, he couldn't have done it. There's no way. I mean, they were just there in the middle, and here the three armies are coming down upon them and closing in on them, and Jehoshaphat calls the people together, and he says, "There's no way we can do anything to fight them. We have no military power or strength. There's no way. We have no program. We have no plans. We have no defense. Just a few seemingly foolish things." Strangest plan you ever heard of in your life. Now, could you picture for a few moments God's people in God's land with giant host of armies coming from three different nations, any one of which could have defeated Judah, and there's no need to pick up weapons and fight. There's no need to declare war. They were helpless. Now, I'm talking tonight to some people in this room. You're helpless. You can't see your way out. I mean, there's just no need to think about it. Maybe it's financial. I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's just no way out of your financial problem. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Your husband's left you. Left you to rear the children by yourself. There's just no way you can do it. I mean, it's just impossible. There's no way. There's no need to go to the banker because no banker's going to give you any credit. There's no need to try to borrow any money from a friend because the kind of friends you have go to First Baptist, they haven't got any money, they're trying to borrow money from you. And you know what? It's not a matter of trying to figure out what to do. There's nothing to do. I mean, there's just nothing in the world to do. I'm talking to somebody tonight who's ill. Doctors have said, "I can't do anything for you." Hospitals have said, "We can't help you." I mean, it's just closing in on you. Your health is closing in on you. There's no way. I mean, the last hope you've had, you may have gone to Mexico to try to get some cure for your cancer in Mexico. You may have gone to the doctor that prescribes a health food diet for the shrinking of the cancer. You may have taken cobalt, or you may have taken other treatments of cancer, and now then all of a sudden nothing's worked, and there's nothing to do. There's just nothing. There's no other recourse. There's no other way to go. And now nobody even offers an alternative. Nobody says, "You ought to do this." Everything everybody said you ought to do, you've done. And there's nothing to do. I'm talking to somebody tonight who has had a heartache or heartbreak. And you can't put it back together. Whatever caused it is done. It'll never be undone. You've got to live with it the rest of your life. Every morning when you wake up, as long as you live, it'll be the first thing you think about. I mean, it's there. You can't do anything about it, and you can't cure it, and you can't solve it, and you can't correct it. It's there. And you can't say, "Oh, what do I do?" Because there's nothing to do. You can't say, "To whom shall I go?" There's nobody to whom you can go. You go to the preacher, all he can say is, "God bless you and pray for you." Well, Jehoshaphat and God's people were right there. I want to tell you six things they did, and these are strange things. Not a one single one of these things had anything to do with the warfare. The first thing they did was they admitted their confusion. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Boy, how is he going to get reelected next term? All these little guys around here, saying, I got all the answers. I'd like to hear somebody run for office sometime that says, I don't know the answers, but I'll try to help you find them, and I'll try to seek God with you and see if God can't give us the answers. I don't know all the answers. I'd like for Mr. Dole to simply say, I don't know the answers. He doesn't know the answers. Nobody does, but Jesse Jackson. He's the only one who knows all the answers. Brother, the humility of politicians really is impressive. They all sound like Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. But this leader said, don't have the answer. Don't know. But you're the king. What's the answer? Don't know. Don't know what to do. So, not going to do anything. What? Not going to do anything? That's what it said. What can we do? Anybody got any ideas? Nobody had an idea. Anybody got any suggestions? Anybody got any plans? Anybody got any battle plans? Don't know. Now, first thing they did, they just admitted the confusion. Number two, they stood together. They stood together. They stood together. They didn't start blaming somebody else. Let me take one of my favorite subjects for a minute. Let me take sports. Let me take my Dallas Cowboys. Nobody else wants them. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm a Tom Landry fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan this year when they ended up 7-8, just like I was the year they ended up 12-2. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy winning fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. But here's the strange thing about it. Dallas Cowboys, and by the way, you can say the same thing about any team. The Bears lost two games in a row, and everybody, well, what's going to pull us out of our trouble? Folks, I got news for you. When two teams play, one has to lose. That's a great statement. Maybe you ought to write that down. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Dallas Cowboys, for 20 straight years, had winning seasons. 18 of those years went to the playoffs. 5 of those years went to the Super Bowl, and 2 other of those years went to the championship game before they ever won the Super Bowl, and twice won the world championship. Now they have 2 bad years. What happens? The owner says, coach doesn't know anything. Third winningest coach in football history. What happens? Things start going wrong, start pointing fingers. Now what they ought to say is, we won together, we'll lose together. We shared the glory on the top, we'll share adversity on the bottom. Nobody's going to point to anybody. I wish every preacher in America could hear what I'm saying right now. We don't start pointing. It's your fault. We're in trouble now. It's your fault. No. What they ought to say is, for all those years, we won, and we shared the victory, and now we're losing a couple of years, and we'll share the defeat. We'll go up together. We'll go down together. We'll win together. We'll lose together. They stood together. Don't start blaming somebody. Things go bad financially in your home. Don't start blaming your husband. It's not his fault. It's yours, wife. Don't start pointing your finger to your wife and say, look what you've done. Or husband, look what you've done. When the things go rough, hold together. Stick together. I remember First Baptist Church of Hammond. On November 22nd. I remember First Baptist Church of Hammond on December 27th. My church. This is my church. And if we go up, we go up together.
If we go down together. If we win together. If we lose together. Things don't go real well. I'm not going to point to you and say, hey, you just did this and so on. No, I'm not going to do that. This is a team. And people of God, when they came to the place where, see, if been us, we'd have said, Joshvet, you got us into this. You got us into, I'll never forget that day when we tore this building down across the alley here. I'll never forget it. Brother Colston made that horrible mistake. Some of you folks were not here. There's a building back over here we bought. At deacon's meeting one night, one deacon said to make a motion. We appoint a committee and have that committee get the building torn down so we can make parking out of it. And I said, fellows, it's stupid to appoint a committee just to get a building torn down. I said, that's dumb. All you got to do is call a demolition company and tell them to tear it down. And they said, okay, preacher, okay. Call them. We want to appoint a committee. I said, well, of course we want to appoint a committee. It's dumb to appoint a committee. All I got to do is just call the demolition company. So we did. Told them to come tear it down, but did not give them good enough instructions. But they did tear it down. But they also tore the building down beside it that we didn't own. Wasn't ours. How'd you like to come to work some morning and find your building gone? Especially if you owned it. Gone. Yes, the building's gone. Now the lot is free. You know, I scared to death. Those days, Hammond Times didn't have a paper on Saturday, which was in those days my favorite day of the week. But I knew that on Sunday morning, headlines would be Ohio strikes again. Tears building down. I called a meeting of the deacons on Saturday night before they found out about it. They came to the chapel. I said, fellas, I just want to call a special meeting. One of them said, how much money do you want? I said, fellas, I didn't call this meeting this tonight to get any money. I just called this meeting to tell you how much I love you. How much I thank God for you. How you stood with me through these years, through thick and thin. I had some thin about coming up pretty soon. I said, remember the building that you wanted to appoint a committee to tear down? And yes. I said, remember how I said don't need a committee? Yeah. I said, I called and told them to tear it down and it's down. Well, what do you want? What, so what? I said, did you ever hear that scripture that says if a man asks you to go a mile, go with him two? They began to listen more carefully. I said, fellas, I said, a sign there said Cunningham Realty. But we did not know the building next to it had a sign also that said Cunningham Realty, and we just gave them instructions, tear everything down, the Cunningham Realty sign, east. So both buildings were torn down. I said, now, I wouldn't blame you if you recommended the church they fire me. You wanted to appoint a committee, and I didn't want to, and both buildings are down. And one deacon said, preacher, for 18 years you've been my pastor. You taught me more Bible and more about the Christian life than all the pastors I've had put together. As far as I'm concerned, you can tear the whole city of Hammond down. You're still my preacher. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of folks build great churches. Every time somebody makes a mistake, I'm on a high tate at something. Oh, you don't do that way. We win together, we lose together. Win together, lose together. He said, tear the whole city of Hammond down, for as I'm concerned. I said, oh, whole city of Hammond. There's that movie down on Calumet Street. It's got to go. There's that adult bookstore down here on State Street. It's going to have to go. And all these liberal churches on Holman Avenue, they got to go. One deacon over here hollered over, It was Bob Lale. Bob Lale said, well, we don't pay much. We don't expect much. I said, one more word out of you, buddy, and down your house comes tonight. One deacon over here out across the room said, don't worry, I'll get to one next door instead. You know, for 2 hours, we sat there in that chapel, and one after the other, people got up and testified what this preacher meant to them. You know why? Because when the preacher helped to bring good to the church, we did it together. Now when the preacher made a mistake, we do it together. That's what Jehoshaphat said. And the people said, son, if you're going to leave, just stay back in the back. Don't come back down to the front again. And because I got something I want to say, and I really think you ought to hear it too. Now listen to me. Jehoshaphat said, we can't win. We're not going to win. No way we can win. These mighty armies are coming from three different directions. Nobody has the answer. I don't have the answer. But he said, we'll stick together. We'll stick together. You see, First Baptist Church of Hammond's my church. United States of America is my country. Howells Anderson College is my college. I'm here to stay. I have no plans on leaving. None at all. I like what old Jim Vineyard said. He said, how did he word it? Somebody said, it's easier for you to... Oh, yeah. I don't believe this, but old Jim did it. He got mad one night. He said to his people, it's easier for you to move your membership than me to move my luggage, furniture. I don't believe that. This is my church. This is my country. My school. I'm in a family here. I mean, things are going well. We had the greatest year we ever had. We share the victory. Okay, tonight the attendance is down. We share the low point. Though it's not a low point, I feel great. I mean, my joy is not dependent on whether the pew's empty or full. My joy is dependent on my heart's empty or full. The Bible's true. And so he said, we're going to stand together. Down in Texas years ago, and I know the name of the church, but I won't call it. In a small town, not too far from where I grew up, a little girl, I'm talking about 2 or 3 years old, got lost. Nobody could find her. They tried to find her. I think the town of about 5,000 people. They tried to find that girl and tried to find her, and they couldn't find her. I mean, they went hours and tried to find her. And somebody suggested, why don't we all, the entire city, go out the city limit sign, and why don't we all join hands? And let's just join hands and make a line as wide as this city is. And let's just walk across this city, joined with hands joined. And if she is anywhere in the city limits, we'll find her. And they did that. Everybody, young people, children, adults, everybody that's strong enough to walk, went out the edge of town, they joined hands like this. And finally, somebody stumbled across a little crumpled body in the weeds. Alive still. And that mother of that little body went up and picked up that little girl, and she walked up to the pastor of the church. And she said, Pastor, we could do it, couldn't we, when we joined hands. We could do it when we joined hands. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. First thing he did, he admitted confusion. He said, don't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. But they said, we'll not blame each other. We'll stand together. We'll stay as one. We won as one. We'll lose as one. You know, go back to sports again. I think a coach ought to choose his best players and play them. Every time the quarterback has a bad day, quit booing him. Cheer him. There was a day in America when everybody pulled for the home team. I mean, the coach was not on trial every game. And the quarterback was not on trial at every game. And the local sports writers wrote good about the coach and good about the team. And the local announcers were always the biggest cheerleaders for the team. I miss Jack Brickhouse. I miss Jack Brickhouse. I miss a guy that's positive. You can have the Harry Carries, give me a Jack Brickhouse. You can have the critics, give me a guy that says, this is my team. I happen to be a Cub fan. That's the curse of my life. I happen to be a Cub fan. I was a Cub fan when we lost, and I was still a fan when we lost again. I was a Cub fan when we were down, and I'll be a Cub fan if we ever get up. Jehoshaphat said, let's stand together. You know, in the Bible, when one man sinned, everybody sinned. When Achan stole the garment and the wedge of gold, God said, Israel has sinned. And again, the Bible, when one man or a group of people sinned within a larger group, they said, we have sinned. Oh, I haven't told this story in years, but I've got to tell you, I love it. I don't know why I don't use it more. Now, I've forgotten what it was. But years ago, when I was a little boy, my mother had a rich sister named Jimmy, Aunt Jimmy. She married a man who was successful in business and became a very, very wealthy man named Uncle Harvey. Uncle Harvey, when I went to college, well, Uncle Harvey bought my mother a little house one time and gave it to her for the rest of her life. Not an expensive house, a little two-bedroom house. It wouldn't be worth $10,000 now. But it's a place for her to live. And when I became an adult, a college student, Uncle Harvey sort of adopted me as his son. I had an agreement with him. I said, Uncle, I want you to promise me that you will not put me in your will. I want you to know that there's one person that's your friend, not because of your money. I don't want your money. I want your friendship. I love you. You know what that rascal did? He made that promise and kept that stupid promise. He died and didn't leave me a dime. He thought I was serious. I was trying to impress him. But he was my friend. I was his friend. I loved him very, very much. Uncle Harvey didn't do anything for me personally much, but one time he helped me make payments on a car, old car, for a while. But Uncle Harvey at Miller Road Baptist Church, so we started that, I went to Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland. The first Sunday we had 44 people. First anniversary is 617. Second anniversary, 1180. Third anniversary, 2212. Fourth anniversary, 3163. If you can't hear me, you can read it as I write it. But we were too young to borrow any money. Nobody does. The banks wouldn't touch us. We were 2 years old, running 1100 in Sunday school, averaging 1100 in Sunday school. Couldn't borrow any money. Had to have a building. Uncle Harvey did go to the Republic National Bank in Dallas, and he went on our note. That's what he did for us. He went on our note so we could build a building. We'd never had a building. In fact, that building to this day is called the H.J. Harris Building. But wait a minute. Uncle Harvey called me one day, and he said, son, I want to have lunch with you at the Mercantile National Bank coffee shop. I met him downtown Dallas. I was pastoring out in Garland. He sat there, and he began to cry. And he said, son, my own son and I have had a problem or two. But he said, you're like my son. He said, I want you to be a part of my business. He said, I want to give you enough stock of where it's valued right now at $250,000. Now, folks, that's back in about 1953 and 54 and 55. That's several million dollars now. In those days, you bought a house. You could buy a nice two-bedroom brick house for $6,500. A house now that cost you $100,000 would cost you $25,000. Yeah, wait a minute. He said, I want to give you stock in my business that'll make you worth $250,000 today. I couldn't believe what I heard. He said, there's only one thing you got to do. You've got to go to Southwestern Seminary and get your doctor's degree. He said, I want you, son, to have a doctor's degree. If you'll go to Southwestern Seminary and get your doctor's degree, I'll give you $250,000 worth of stock today. And I said, Uncle, if I wanted to go to Southwestern Seminary, I wouldn't take your stock because I'll not be financially bound to anybody. And I'm sorry, in the first place, I'll not go to Southwestern, nor would I recommend anybody else to go to Southwestern Seminary. I went there myself, and I couldn't stomach it to stay and get my advanced degrees, and I said, I can't go. That's how close we were. By the way, Uncle Harvey was on the Relief and Annuity Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was a big Southern Baptist leader. The day came and the Southern Baptist said to me, you've got to support our liberal schools or you won't be a Southern Baptist anymore. And I said, I won't give a dime to support a school that doesn't believe this Bible. Not one dime. No way. And they said, okay, you support or you're out. And I said, then I'm out. Now, the day that they voted me out, first thought I had was Uncle Harvey. What's he going to say? By that time, he had a stroke. Never forget it, because when he had a stroke, after a while, he had to have a leg cut off. And I haven't told this in years here. Uncle Harvey had to have a leg cut off. And I went there and was with him all the time before surgery and stayed there beside the bed, wanted to see him when he rolled back in. They rolled him back in. His leg was off, just above the knee. He always had a good spirit. Probably my manner of life is more like my Uncle Harvey's and was influenced by my Uncle Harvey more than any other man. Now, I ought to say that more. But my seeing the funny side and seeing the humorous side and so forth, is so much of it I got from Uncle Harvey. I never saw him down. If he was down, I never admitted it. Had a stroke. Never complained. Never complained. Lost his leg. I was back. I was in the room. When he came back in, I thought, now I wonder if he's going to have his spirit. He woke up, looked at me, and the first thing he said, son, I learned something in that operating room. I said, what's that, Uncle? I thought he was going to say, I learned the grace of God is sufficient. Something spiritual. He said, I learned the best cure in the world for an ingrowing toenail. Isn't that great? You grab because you've got a 99.6 fever. You grab because you're tired. It's 10 o'clock at night. Oh, I'm just so tired. Well, that's what beds are for. Go on to bed. Shut up. But now, wait a minute. Uncle Harvey, now, he's a big Southern Baptist leader. And I couldn't be a Southern Baptist, no longer Southern. I dreaded telling Uncle Harvey. I went over to see him the next day. I was going to tell him. Boy, and I tell you what, I just begged God to help me. I had my speech all made. Uncle Harvey, I've got to stand for what I believe. I've got to stand for what I think is right. Had it all planned. I walked and there he sat in the wheelchair. Before I said one word, here's what he said. He said, son, I heard they voted us out. Us. 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 That's what Jehoshaphat said. He said, we won, we lose. I'll not point a finger. I won't point the Secretary of War and say, you didn't plan. I won't point the Secretary of Defense and said, you didn't get us ready. Secretary of Defense didn't say, I won't point to Jehoshaphat the King and say, you're a bad leader. I mean, look, Mr. Reagan can do one thing and the ignorant senators and congressmen start shooting at him. Why don't somebody say, I'm an American and this is America and that's my president and though I don't always agree with him, we're one. We win together, we lose together. My country, united. We'll stand together. Number three. I love this part. Love it all. This part is extra. Got a Reese's peanut butter cup in my pocket. Thank you. I felt something little down there, a little bulky. What else did Jehoshaphat and the people do? First thing, admitted confusion. We don't know. Second thing, nobody pointed a finger of accusation. Number three, they just praised the Lord. Praise the Lord? I mean, you're about to be killed by three different armies? Well, you're going to be killed by one of them, but you can get killed three times. But three different armies, a mighty host coming from three different directions, and nobody knows what to do, and there's no way out. What else, John? They just praise the Lord. Picture them. Praising God. What are you praising God for? What's God done for you? Folks, if you can't praise God for what He's done, then praise God for what He is. They couldn't praise God because the armies were coming. They couldn't praise God because defeat was inevitable. But they could praise God because He was their God. And Jehoshaphat said, "Art thou not our God?" They didn't start blaming God. They didn't disown God. They didn't turn back on God. They didn't quit and run back home. They said, "You're our God. You're our God when we crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. You were our God when we got manna from the heavens every morning. You are our God when the waters spring forth like a fountain from the rock in Horeb. You are our God as we walked past and the Moabites as we came into Israel. And you are our God now. We trust you. We don't understand you, but you're our God." Talking to a fellow the other day on the airplane, Christian fellow. Once in a while I bump into a Christian. And he told me his problems. I never heard such problems in my life. He said, "Reverend, what do you think I ought to do?" I said, "I can just tell you one thing." I said, "Just praise God." But he said, "What's the answer?" "I don't know the answer." "But praise God. Praise Him." And the old man said, "Well, praise the Lord." That's on the airplane. And he looked at me and he said, "I don't know what for, but praise the Lord." Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when you're on top. Praise Him when you're on bottom. Praise Him when you can see your way out. Praise Him when you can't see your way out. Praise Him. Jehoshaphat, listen to me. If I go under, I'd rather go under praising God than griping. And Jehoshaphat said, in so many words, he said, "If we can't win, we can praise." You don't know what to do? Praise God. What for? For what He is. Praise Him. I'm saved. I can praise Him for that. Holy Spirit lives in His body and praise Him for that. You know, we praise God too much for circumstances. And that means when circumstances change, we don't praise God anymore. I get a little tired of folks saying, "Well, God sure has been good to me. We got money in the bank, got a nice house, good furniture, good car." That's not why God's been good to you. God's been good to you because He's God. He's as much God when you're broke as when you're flush with money. They praised the Lord. Number four. Didn't know what to do. Enemies coming from all sides. They admitted confusion. Stood together. They praised the Lord. Number four. They stood still. They didn't change a thing. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. You don't know what to say, don't say anything. You don't know where to go, don't go anywhere. Don't force it. Don't try to make something happen if you don't know what to make happen. Sit still, be still, and know that He's God. We don't know what to do. Armies are coming down from all sides. We don't know what to do. Then don't do anything. Just have a spell. Praise God. What if they kill us? Well, you'd be praising God when you go to heaven. What better way? A lot of you folks are going to be in heaven frowning before you realize where you are. You're going to think you're griping at your husband, and it's St. Peter. Bless God. The martyrs went to heaven praising God. Stand still. They said, this is beyond us. We don't know what to do. We won't do anything. This is beyond us. We don't know where to go. We won't go anywhere. It's beyond us. We don't know. So we'll just stay right here. Admit we don't know what to do. We're going to stand together and praise God. Number five. They kept their eyes on him. It's what Jehoshaphat said. Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do. We'll just keep our eyes on God. Just keep your eyes on him. We're not going to look at the enemy. Look up. Discouraging. Look out. Look up. Don't look down. Don't look out. Look up! Look up! Somebody says to me, Brother Hiles, aren't you worried about the Dow Jones average? Yeah, I'm worried. I got one what? Share of stock in the Hershey's company. But the Boardman gave it to me. I make about 58 cents on it a year. So you think I'm not carrying a burden these days? Open that paper every morning and see how the Dow Jones average is done. Brother Hiles, aren't you worried about the Dow Jones average? I'm not looking at him, looking up. Look at him. Aren't you worried about AIDS? Not looking at it, looking up. Aren't you worried about the future of America? I'm looking up. They said, we don't know what we can do. We're right here in the middle of three mighty armies, any one of which could defeat us. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know the answer. Nobody else does. What can we do? Admit you don't know the answer. Stand together. Praise the Lord. Stand still. Keep your eyes on him. I've said many times, brother, if anybody ever decides to kill me, just let me go preaching. Old J. Harold Smith years ago was captured, taken to a pool hall. They said, you're going to preach one sermon and we're going to kill you. They put him on a pool table, preach. He had cowboy boots on. He preached a whole sermon digging his cowboy boots in the material on that pool table. He said, if I'm going to go to heaven, I'm taking one pool table with me. Keep your eyes on him. Praise him. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, praise him. Listen, if you're going to lose, may as well praise him while you're losing instead of griping while you're losing. I had a friend named Henry Fant in college. Craziest guy you ever met. Good guy. Still correspond with him. Pastor of a little church in East Texas. Funniest guy you ever saw in your life. I'd say, Henry would say, hello, Brother Jack. How you doing? I said, well, I said, my mother is very, very ill. He said, praise the Lord. I said, what? Oh, he said, I mean, praise the Lord. They got hospitals for sick people. Somebody come along and say, how you doing? Well, my dad died. Well, glory to God. What? Well, I mean, thank God there are funeral homes and cemeteries and caskets. But, you know, the guy's not far from wrong. I mean, you can't do anything about it. Complaining is not going to help. Won't start praising God. Don't know your way out? Praise God. Keep your eyes on him. Number six. I said, number one, admit the confusion. Number two, stand together. Number three, praise the Lord. Number four, stand still. Number five, keep your eyes on him. Number six, wait. Just stand there and wait. What if Jehoshaphat said, let's start fighting? That's silly. There's no way they can win. If you're going to be killed, you may as well not be tired when you die. Be rested. Folks, we fight too much. I don't mean each other. I mean, we get... We're like the guy that got on his horse and rode off in all directions. We've got to find the answer. We've got to do something. Well, no, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Just wait. That's what Job meant. Job didn't know what in the world to do. His wife disowned him. His kids were dead. His wealth was gone. His health was destroyed. Job didn't see any way out. What did he do?
I don't feel very good. I think I got fever. My back's not well.
Well, his front wasn't well either. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll trust him to the grave. I'll praise him to the grave. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand on the earth at the last day. He said, I don't know how I can win the victory now, but I know one thing, when it's all over, I'm on the winning side. That's what he said. That's what he said. We're going to win. We're going to win. Now then, let's go back to apply it to you. What is yours? Financial? Probably shouldn't say this because the lady's probably here tonight, but nobody's going to know who it is. Like the lady this week, you say it all the time. For the house, we're so far in debt. We're going to consolidate our debts. So you go down to one of these gyp joints and pay 20% interest to consolidate your debts. And what happens? You pay more then than you pay more then than you pay in beforehand. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Be still. Praise God. What's your problem? Husband left? Trying to rear the children by yourself? Don't see your way out. Neither could Jehoshaphat. Neither could Israel. Don't go to pointing the finger at somebody. It's her fault. It's his fault. No, just don't do that. Just praise God. Just praise him. But you say, Brother Howells, I cannot see an answer. Okay, then have a spell because the one that you trust can see an answer. Stand still. Keep your eyes on him. And wait. And wait. It's not an easy world. It's not an easy life. Every day of my life, I mean this, every day of my life, I cross people, same situation. Jehoshaphat and Judah were in. Same thing. Every day of my life. I'll be honest with you, I had appointments Christmas night. By the time I left this office Christmas night to go home, I'd forgotten it was Christmas. Because of problems. Preacher, there's no way out. Okay. What can I do? Well, if there's no way out, then don't do anything. There's no way out. What do you do? Admit there's no way out. Don't blame anybody. Don't point any fingers. Stand together. Praise the Lord. Stand still. Keep your eyes on him. And wait. Shall we stand?